and transportation has become a big part of what BQA is doing here now, because we have seen some situations where we are seeing bruises. We're seeing dark cutters, and a lot of it could be coming from the transportation piece, and we're trying to get better handles on that. And so we want to kind of talk through what are some important things to look at. That way we can get to a point where maybe we can reduce some of the stress. A lot of that stress might be time on in transit. So if we're not sitting still or we're not having to repair something, will those cattle have as much stress on them by sitting in there waiting for us to repair that trailer? Okay, so we can improve some of those circumstances. So when we start thinking about some of those other things like bruising, I always like to ask this question. Have trailer sizes and things changed much over the last 30 years? Even semi-cattle pots, have they changed much? We got more axles, haven't we? That's about it. Have we changed the height of each compartment much? Okay, some of the newer trailers are starting to do that a little bit. They're bumping that upper deck up a little bit. But what has happened to the size of our cattle over the last 30 years? Gotten larger. They either gotten taller and thicker, right? So when we start thinking about facilities and trailers and those type of things, are our slide gates wide enough for our bigger cattle to go through? Okay, most of the time they are, right? But do we have circumstances where that changes a little bit? It can. So we have to kind of think through what we can do to ensure that we have safe cattle in transit. And that's the key part of this whole scenario. So we're going to talk a lot about safety here with the trailer here today. And how many of you ever do a walk around of your trailer before you start moving cattle and things? Anybody? A few? Okay. When all the tires are flat, we have to pull up and check all of them, right? Okay. Well, that was the first thing when I went to pick up this trailer this morning. This is actually from my brother's operation down the road a ways. That was the first thing. I said, I better get there early because I'll probably have to fill up all the tires with air. Okay. But I got there and they were all up, so we were good to go. But I want you to just take a minute, if everybody just wants to kind of walk around the pickup and trailer and think about things that you see that maybe are good or bad for safety issues. Can you guys think about safety issues about walking around that trailer? Okay, why don't we just have you guys just kind of spread out, walk around the trailer for about a minute here and think about the different things that are on that trailer. You can open up doors, gates, whatever. Take a look. No safety chains. What?
Hooked to a Chevy.
No breakaway battery. Good, good. You guys are coming up with all the good ones. Safety chains. What? They actually do. I did check that this morning. Yeah. Spare tires loose. Okay.
No safety chains.
No safety chains. No battery on the brakes.
Are these safety specs on mine that are higher?
Yeah.
Put it down here. Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable. Yep, yep. As long as you have them the complete distance of the trailer. The reflectors on the bottom of trailers are now required by DOT. Okay. So you guys named all the ones that I figured you would see right off the bat. How many of you checked the
door in the deal is not fastened on one side, but
your
that could be some of the leftovers.
The slide gate?
Yeah, one up there on top.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, that's probably somebody. I will check that too. I didn't see that one, so thank you. Okay, you guys saw all the big ones. So things that we need to really look at when we think about safety on trailer, one, kind of know your government regulations or your state regulations for DOT regulations, even for stock trailers. Some states require a CDL just to drive a pickup and trailer like this, okay? Arizona, I believe, is one that requires that now. I don't think any of these four states require currently. Okay? They're getting closer.
If you... I got pulled over for going... this way station he told me if I went another 50 more miles, even though I was still in Nebraska, and I was hauling bulls, he said, if there's any chance... If you're going to make any money, you're going to have a CDL if you get more than 150 miles from home, 150 miles out of state.
Okay,
I didn't have to have, all I had to do was basically get the CDL. I didn't have to do all the inspections and all that kind of stuff. But.
So if you were, the way the law actually reads, if you were transporting and making money as a transporter, then you're supposed to have a CDL. But you can go 150 air miles from your home location without a CDL, even on tractor trailers.
If you're being paid for the transportation, not if you're selling cows.
No, exactly. If you're selling your own.
If you're selling your own, you get the 150 air miles. Now, if you are hired to haul for somebody else, you have to have a CDL. That's a requirement.
Okay. They told me even if you had hope. If you're a team roper, you're hauling them horses more than 150 miles in the hopes of winning money, you better have a CDL. None of them do.
So that's why know what those regulations, and every state is different. That's the challenge. We don't have an across-the-board rule on the DTO, on the CDL. So make sure you are covering all of that when you do it. So that's the first thing. Paperwork. What paperwork is required when you're in transit? Okay. Not yet. See? In Wyoming?
California?
Okay. So here, as long as you're hauling your own, you don't need any log. But if I haul these cattle, if I go across state lines, I'm required to have a brand paper.
If you go out of the brand area,
in Nebraska, yep. So anytime you go out of that area, you have to have that paperwork. Know your paperwork when you cross state lines. Because currently, as of a month ago, we need a 24-hour health paper for a lot of stuff going across state lines now. Okay, because of the VS outbreak in with our partners, our state partners here. Come across state lines, it's a 24-hour health paper now. So those are things you have to know, but you have to know up front. Way to find that out is if you go to the DOT site, usually they have updates on that for your state DOT. They'll have updates.
Are there any rules that you need to transfer?
Not right now. Not that I know. Unless there's an outbreak.
But there's a specific... In Montana, there is.
Yeah.
But they have from county to county brand inspections.
Yeah, yeah. So here in Nebraska, no. The four states that we deal with. Okay. This is the thing. So, as you walked around, did anybody look at the tires? How do the tires look?
A little rough.
Okay. How many of you see bald tires on trailers? Where do the tires usually come from that we put on trailers? The ones you took out the pickup normally, okay? So know what, why you have, know your weight restrictions on tires. How do you know if your tire has enough tread? Anybody know? Anybody ever take a penny? Put the penny down inside the tread. If you can see Lincoln's complete head, you don't have enough tread on your tires. Anybody want to try that? Even on your vehicles, it's the same way, okay? That's a good way of telling you. Can you tell me how do you know how old your tires are? So on your tires, there is a DOT number, okay? That DOT number will give you a manufacturer code and tire size. And then there's an identification number, but then there's a four-digit number at the end of that. So it's a DOT, it has DOT, and then these numbers. Those last four digits, the first two are the week of the year, the last two are the year. So if you look at this back tire on this, on the passenger or driver's side, on the trailer, the back tire says 10/12. So when was that tire manufactured? It was manufactured on the 10th week. The 10th week of 2012. Okay? So how long should we run tires? Okay, usually do tires get weather checked? What happens when a tire gets weather checked? It gets brittle and starts to blow. Okay? So those are things, that's a safety issue. So you look at tires. Brakes. Okay, you guys already saw one problem with the brakes, right? It doesn't have the emergency battery on it, okay? How do we tell brakes? Can we tell by the control as we kind of pull forward and use the control on our trailers? Okay? We can inspect a little bit. Okay, if you can see those brake pads. Is it important to have brakes on trailers? Yeah. Very important. Probably one of our biggest safety issues that we have. Okay? So we start talking about braking. One of the things that I'd like to explain is, so we talked about bruising here a little while ago. Can cattle get bruised by bumping up against each other in a trailer?
Yes.
Hey, have you ever heard, seen a truck have to stop real quick? What happens to everything? They shift forward, don't they? Or we accelerate real fast. Where do they shift? Back. Will that cause bruising? Definitely. Okay, good. Yeah. But make sure you adjust. It's always good to have good guys in the group, right? Okay. We always got to make sure we're adjusting those brakes. That way they're not grabbing sooner than our pickup brakes, right? But a gradual, make sure we got them calibrated to our truck, our pickup, okay? Make sure that stays up ahead of things. The other things, lights, okay? We already talked about lights a little bit ago. Make sure all our lights are working, as well as making sure we have the reflector tape. Make sure that's all on part of the trailers as well, okay? How can we determine load size? I always like this question. As big as you can push down the alleyway, the faster you go, the more you can get, right? Okay. Most of our cattle, 1,200 pounds, animals should have approximately 14 and a half square feet. 14 and a half square feet. That's pole. If we have horn cattle, what do we need? Yeah. We need to have more room for horn cattle than we do pole, okay? So we have to adjust that. So a lot of times, a good rule of thumb, you got a bumper sticker, hopefully. That gives you some ideas. Trailer size, approximately weight of cattle. If I usually say on 1,200 pounders, most trailers are 7 foot, okay? Most of our big trailers are 7 foot wide for every 2 foot length. general estimate. So 24-foot trailer should be able to put how many 1,200 pounders on there?
7.
Not 12. We should be able to put 12 on there. Do we put 12 on it?
No.
Hopefully not, okay? Because a lot of times, bred cows, what do we want for bred cows? Probably a little more space, right? Okay. So we do all just those safety things that keep picking up as we go. How about extreme weather? Do we haul cattle in extreme weather conditions? Extreme cold? Extreme heat? What does that do to cattle when we transport them in extreme cold or extreme heat?
Stress.
Stress. We see more dark cuggers in extreme heat conditions, hauling cattle. Okay? That extra stress adds to the stress. And once we get extra heat on cattle, it takes about 2 to 3 hours of cool weather to drop that body temperature back down to normal.
As far as cold stress goes, how much can you buy by covering up the slats on your trailer?
Okay. So on the cold side, we say one thing to remember is, depending on the distance you're traveling and how many you have in there and how cold it is. So one thing, if you're in extreme cold conditions, we would prefer to be able to fly up on long travels, because what happens? We create our own wind chill factor driving down the road. So even with our big trailers, our trucks, our big transporters, we talk about this a lot. When we start getting to that sub-zero temperatures going down the highway, before we get to, if the temperatures are sub-zero or our chill factors are sub-zero, once we start going down the road 65, 70, 80, okay, hopefully not quite 100, but what happens to that wind chill factor? It gets a lot colder. So once we get to zero, we should be able to start thinking about how we can start eliminate some of that airflow through that trailer. The heat humidity index on your flyer, once that heat index rises, so at 90 degrees, at 30% humidity, we're already at a warning point for the heat index. So it's pretty amazing what you get. But one thing we have to remember as we get in these trailers in the cold, what's happening with the cattle inside that trailer? They're also producing some heat, aren't they? So in the cold, we can go a little longer, or a little more in the cold, because they're producing their own heat in the trailer. But when we're on the extreme heat side, what happens?
They're still producing heat.
They're still producing heat. So we produce that heat that elevates that heat index inside that trailer. So we have to kind of think about how we handle it. We say, if we can transport early mornings, before about 11 or 12 o'clock is the best time in extreme heat. Okay? Because when's usually our hottest temperature around most of our area here in a day? Between 2 and 4. Okay? But then it starts gradually going down, and a lot of people think, oh, it's getting cooler. But remember I said what happened to that body temperature? It rose, right? How long does it take to come back down? So we have to kind of think about that transportation piece. Okay. The other thing as we load and unload, keep in mind as you're doing that, things to remember is look at your facility. Look for things that are sharp edges, that are protruding out, that can cause any cuts, bruising, damages. So he talked about the bruising issue. Where are we seeing most of our bruises? Shoulders, loins, and rounds. Okay? Loins and rounds, mainly from things either being too low, okay? Going into the belly of a cattle pot, our larger cattle are hitting their upper side on the lower or upper deck, going down into the bellies. And these trailers, probably we're seeing more on shoulders. Because what happens? When we start moving in and loading those, they go from a wide alley a lot of times to what? A single alley. You ever have cattle jam at that section where those intersect? Yeah. And so that's some of our bruising thing. So, again, patience, understanding facilities.
The other thing I noticed is that when we're in the back trailer and on the back, they slide sometimes. And if they're not matched right up to the back, they'll fall when they go to step out the trailer.
And this trailer is awful high.
Yeah,
this trailer is awful high.
When they go to jump, they'll just...
So, yeah, what your facility is loading and unloading, having good traction. A lot of people are using rubber, the woven rubber tire mats. Excellent traction until they get full of mud, manure, and are wet. So remember, we have to clean those out as well because they get slick. This trailer does have grooves on the bottom. I have... One half dozen of the other, if I like it or not. A lot of times they get good traction until it gets real wet. Or if there is enough manure or mud in there, then it gets pretty slick. But usually flat rubber on floors, the same thing. If it gets wet and slick. The other thing, this time of year, if you wash out a trailer, what happens if that water sticks in the bottom of that trailer?
Ice.
Okay. Slipping, falls, those are all part of this bruising and those type of things. So we have to think through those. Okay. Any other questions? We kind of went through the safety piece kind of quick. This is kind of a new part of the BQA stuff, but something I think we all need to be aware of. Thoughts?
Are they finding my compressor?
There's more study being done. If you saw in there, the average is 2.5 hours to take back in for batch. There's a lot of factors there. How stressed are those cabins coming onto the trailer? Temperature going down the road? How much time is wait time? So that threshold is getting to be a challenge to figure out right now. Because a lot of times we'll get cattle pox going from a feed yard. Yeah, it might only take 2 hours to get there, but then they wait in line. So when they're waiting in line in that trailer, what happens to stress level stack? It goes up. Yeah. And so right now I think we're trying to get a better handle on that. So every road is going to look different, so it's a little challenging to find the exact threshold. But the other thing is market cow and bulls versus fed cattle is a little different. Market cows and bulls calls. Those cattle are on cattle trailers longer because where's most of our killer cow and bull plants? They're central. Taking cattle from Montana to a central cow kill plant. Okay, they know some of those cattle are on the trailers for up to 14 hours or more, just getting there. So that threshold's a little different. But most of our fed cattle are fairly close to our packing plants right now. But a lot of times, it's the wait time that you see more stress.
Omaha's not too close, is
he? What?
Is Omaha close?
Some of the plants are close. No. Yeah, and so like that, because you guys kill Omaha.
Yep.
So that one in your schedule kills, right? With the Hereford deal. Yeah. So if it's kind of interesting, scheduled kills usually flow a lot quicker than our general kills at most of our plants. Wait times are probably the longest right now at the Greeley plant and at Schuyler plant that we've noticed. Everything else seems to be somewhat flowing. So, but don't take my exact word for it, because the day you'll be there is probably the day that there'll be a line. But questions? Any other questions? Good questions. Okay.
We're going to put two sides.
Thank you.